is a very exciting moment. On Thursday, August 2nd, the Vatican came out with a revision to the Catholic Catechism regarding the death penalty. For years, there's been ambiguity as to if you can use the death penalty or not. Although there's been a development, especially in the last 20 to 25 years, where the popes are talking about the death penalty being cruel or unnecessary, there's always been an exception in rare cases for the use of the death penalty. Typically, that has been understood to be when the community could not be kept safe for a perpetrator. However, it's been used as a loophole and an excuse for many Catholic politicians, and frankly, even Catholics in the United States who don't see it as part of the pro-life movement.
And what is the actual situation with regard to death penalty in the U.S. at the moment?
Right now, there are over 2,800 people sitting on death row in the United States. States like California, for example, they have not executed anyone in over 10 years. However, 750 men and women sit on death row in California, for example. So death penalty, unfortunately, is alive and well in 31 states that have it on the books here in the United States. There are 19 states, however, that have repealed or now ended the death penalty practice in their state. So we see extraordinary strides toward abolition, but at the same time, we have a lot of work to do to actually end the practice here in the United States.
Have people been executed in recent times?
Absolutely. This year, there have been 14 executions thus far. Hardly a month that would go by where we don't see an execution in the United States.
Who are the people who are actually being executed?
Unfortunately, there is an understanding, I think, in the American psyche that the people who are on death row, and ultimately the people who are sentenced and then executed, are the worst of the worst, that they have committed the worst crimes that we know of. The truth is, often these people who are at the point of getting sentenced and then executed are actually the weakest or the most vulnerable. Folks who are living in poverty, those people who are suffering with mental illness, we have a terrible trouble with executing people of color in disproportionate ways. So there's just a real discrepancy and disproportionality of those who are vulnerable, who actually get sentenced and then executed in the United States.
How do people come to terms with or live with the notion that it's okay to put somebody else to death?
I think that's a really good question. For our experience at Catholic Mobilizing Network, we have always worked closely with victims' families who have suffered some terrible crime and ultimately a death, perhaps of a loved one. And there's this perception maybe that if the person who perpetrated that crime, who caused the harm, could be killed, then they would be relieved, they would be receiving some kind of consolation. And the truth is, the victims' families that we know say that could never be the case. In fact, that's a dishonoring of the human life that was taken in the first place, that they don't want to execute in their name, and they don't want more harm to be caused, that it's a dishonoring of the value of not only the human dignity of the person they lost, but ultimately the God-given dignity that is bestowed upon every human being.
What's your understanding of why the Pope chose this time, or the Vatican chose this time, to talk about the death penalty and to say clearly that no, it's not okay?
Well, you know, that's a really great question. It's actually been, over the last 25 years, a gradual development. In 1999, even when Pope John Paul II came to the United States, he visited this very state that we're sitting in right now, St. Louis, Missouri, and he talked about the death penalty being cruel and unnecessary. So that was in 1999, and in 2005, the United States bishops launched launched a Catholic campaign to end the use of the death penalty, and ultimately that's how Catholic Mobilizing Network was founded, out of that campaign for the last 10 years. When Pope Benedict XVI was Pope, he very clearly renewed and reiterated what Pope John Paul had talked about in his papacy. And then as of more recently, Pope Francis, even when he spoke to the U.S. Congress in September of 2015, he called for global abolition of the death penalty. And that was pretty extraordinary, that moment when he spoke before the entire U.S. Congress. And there was a massive eruption in the room, at least from some politicians. So we've seen this gradual development, but here's the moment that I think was the real turning point. In October of 2017, so less than a year ago, Pope Francis, was at the 25th anniversary of the Catholic Catechism, the contemporary Catholic Catechism. This was a meeting in Rome, and he was speaking. It was the day after the World Day Against the Death Penalty. And he chose that occasion to talk about his intention to see that there was a revision to the language in the Catechism. So what was so extraordinary is that was mentioned, and of course, you know, the world was listening, but there wasn't an actual change yet in the Catechism. So while we were elated, we were sort of waiting and suspended in air. And so now, 10 months later, Pope Francis has actually instituted, with the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, this change to the Catechism, which says the death penalty is inadmissible in all cases, removing the ambiguity, eliminating the loophole, and really leaving no room for an excuse heretofore.
What is your hope with regard to the death penalty in the U.S.?
We've seen some extraordinary trends toward abolition. Public support for the death penalty is at the lowest it's been in 45 years. We're seeing a decrease in sentencing. We're seeing a decrease in actual executions. So on the one hand, we have a lot of work to do in eliminating the death penalty laws in 31 states. We just see that the public really does not have an appetite for this anymore. If anything, there's a renewed understanding of restorative justice, alternative, more rehabilitative approaches to harm, and of searching for that healing of individuals where a harm has been caused, but ultimately the communities where there's been some grave harm, and how do you reconcile, how do you heal, how do you offer some kind of hope and redemption. That is what the American public wants. It's going to be a journey to get to total abolition here, and ultimately it'd have to be a change in the Constitution with the Supreme Court under the Eighth Amendment. But if we get enough states, little by little, to call for repeal, then we can take that case to the Supreme Court and say, you know, at least half of the country is against this. This is no longer the law of the land, and we want the Constitution changed. So this will be the work before us, but we're ever hopeful and ever emboldened by what Pope Francis has just offered to the global church, but particularly the American Catholic Church. Well, I think this is an extraordinary moment for people of faith, certainly Catholics, but people of goodwill in the United States and across the globe, to take a deeper look at their understanding of what it means to be pro-life. We talk about being pro-life from womb to tomb, and the death penalty has been a misfit in that conversation, unfortunately, and we need to change that. I think Pope Francis, his year of mercy, his visits to the prisons, his continual actions, symbolic, and his proclamations around the dignity of the human person, no matter the harm they've caused, no matter the harm one has suffered, everyone has human dignity. So I think this is just a punctuation and a challenge to deepen our faith. If we're not already there around the death penalty, I would invite folks to pray about it, to read Pope Francis's the new language around the catechism, but also the accompanying letter to bishops. There was 10 points, it's a short read, about why the progression in the teaching and how we need to look at this anew at this point in our history. So it would be more of a prayerful, contemplative approach on the one hand. And on the other hand, if you live in the United States, even if you live in a state that has the death penalty repealed already, where there's no more death penalty on the books in your state, be careful that there's not backsliding. It's a political moment where there's lots of scapegoating and there's lots of division in the country. And so even the gains we've made in the 19 states that don't have the death penalty, frankly, those could be jeopardized. Those could be vulnerable. So make sure your state legislatures keep to the repeal and keep to no more death penalty on the books, especially those 31 states that have the death penalty. Meet with your legislators, especially if they're Catholic. Start that conversation about why the ending the death penalty is, why we're called to that as part of our faith. And then if you're a churchgoer, if you're sitting in the pews, especially if you're Catholic, you know, pray about it, meet about it, talk about it, and make sure folks know that something has changed. There's no ambiguity, and this is calling us to a better, more whole representation of what it means to have human dignity. So there's an extraordinary number of Catholics in political office, many governors, many state legislators, many judges. You know, call upon people's faith to make the difference around this point in history toward global abolition of the death penalty.